get done what we need to get done. God did something last night. I'm hoping he's not trying to wreck my perfectly good message. But I've got a feeling he is. The title would this would be, We All Need 3:16. But it starts for me in Romans chapter 3. You don't have to go there. We're eventually going to get to John 3:16. But Romans chapter 3, there's a couple verses there. One says, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then on Romans 3:23, it says this. It says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now tonight I might expound on the whole chapter of Romans chapter 3 just to put all those in context. But sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. Now I wanted to move on. I just wanted to make that point because I wanted to make a broader point this morning that sin is not the only thing that's going to keep us from God because Jesus dealt with sin at Calvary. But what I wanted to say, but God interrupted my sleep last night. I fell asleep and I seen some people in my sleep in a dream. I was sitting in a classroom. I don't know what classroom, but I was sitting in a classroom. And I seen some people from our church sitting in the class. And God said, you're going to speak about sin tomorrow and you're going to make a light remark about sin and you're going to move on. But I want you to not just move on. I want you to tell somebody something for me. Sin is serious. Now listen, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but God said sin was so serious and so heavy and means so much to Him. The very moment sin got on His Son Jesus, He crushed Him for it. The very moment that Jesus took the sin of the world on Him, God crushed Him for it. And I was sitting in this classroom and I was telling them, I said, look, sin's serious. And it seemed like people were getting mad in the room. It was just a dream. I'm not saying you were getting mad. It was like you didn't want to hear the fact that God got mad about sin. And and I'd like to preach messages and I'd like to make you feel good and I'd like to tell you stuff that would get you excited. But if you've got sin in your life, God takes it so serious that if you stand before Him one day lost, He'll send you into eternity separated from Him because your sin was more important to you than He was. And don't get mad when somebody tells you that your sin will separate you from God, because that's God loving you enough to tell you why you're on the face of this planet, why you're drawing breath in and out of your lungs if you would stop. And He would tell you, look, I've got a life in eternity that's better than anything you can have on the face of this planet. Please don't be satisfied for a temporal thing when you can have an eternal thing. I want to say it this way, and you might not like it, but God hates sin. No, He hates my sin, and He hates your sin. And if you stand before God without your sin being dealt with, God will deal with it. I wanted to glance over that and just move on by, but I couldn't. I guess the rest of the message will be about the same for you this morning on that. There was two people in the Bible. No, I almost lost my mind right there. Sorry. Sin is not the thing that's going to keep us from God. You know what's going to keep us from God? Our pride. Our pride is. There's a couple places in the Bible. Proverbs 16, I'm going to read this. We'll get on to the preaching in a minute. Just give me a little bit of time if you would. Proverbs 16, 5 reads like this. It says, Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 16, 18 reads this. Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18, 12 reads like this. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, And before honor is humility. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 13, it reads like this. Well, it reads like that if you get there. It's Proverbs 6, verse 16. The six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, even seven are an abomination unto him. 17, a proud look. Now, the whole message goes like this today. Pride's going to keep you out of heaven. Sin's not. Sin's been dealt with at Calvary. Jesus took the sins of the whole world and put them upon himself. And he was crucified for your sins and the sins of the whole world. And if you accept that sacrifice, that means if you believe in what Jesus did, and you believe in who he was, and repent from your sins, then your sin, you'll be as if you've never sinned. You'll exchange your unrighteousness for his righteousness. That's how powerful what the cross. But what happens is, when pride comes in, I don't care if you're the worst sinner or the least of all sinners. Your pride will not let you repent. Your pride will not let you bow to God and take yourself off the throne of your mind. And you'll say, well, if it gets bad enough, you will. No, you won't. There's some people in this life who've got no money, no clothes, no job, no home, no family, nothing. And they still will not relinquish the control to God in their life. There are some people that are so wealthy, they never want for anything. And they will never come off the throne of their own mind and ask God to be the Lord of their life. And there's a lot of people in between those two ditches. There's going to be a lot of people go to hell, to go to eternity, separated from God because they were too prideful to let themselves be saved. To reach out to Jesus and say, what you do is what I need. Amen? There's going to be a lot of people like that. And we come to church a lot and we kind of put people in different scopes. We put people in the sinner category or the righteous category. And I'm going to reference two people that were in John chapter 3 and one was in John chapter 8. And I thought these two people are an amazing contrast of how God saves everybody. Amen? One is in John chapter 8. She's a girl brought to Jesus caught in the very act of adultery. Amen? Matter of fact, she's the girl who did everything wrong without Jesus. She's unrighteous. Write that down. She's unrighteous. And then there's another man. His name is Nicodemus. He came to Jesus at night. He came to Jesus doing everything right without Jesus. He's self-righteous. Amen? Both of them doing life in two different ways without Jesus. Both of them lost. I thought, what a contrast. One a prostitute, one a holy man. Amen? One lives in the temple, one is in the prostitute's home. Amen? In the harlot's house. And God meets them both. I thought about the way they meet. One was dragged. Early one morning, dragged. Caught in the very act. I wonder if they let her get dressed. Wrapped her up in a sheet. Pulled her down to the Bible study. The early morning Bible study that Jesus was holding. Early in the morning, sun up. Good thing Jesus had been praying all night because he's dealing with a situation. And they Roll her out. Nobody's hiding what she's doing. That's the way the sinners are a lot of times. If your sin's real big and real bold, you can't hide who you are. As soon as you walk in, people know, that's so-and-so. That's that one. Amen? Anybody? Never mind. Some religious people drug her to church. Anybody ever been drugged to church? Anybody here feel like you've been drugged to church? Have you ever been the one that wanted to drag somebody to church? Amen? And they drug her in there like they had no problem with God. Amen? They drug her in there like they had no issue. God has no issue with us. It's her. And rolled her out right in front of God. That's grace, ain't it? I mean, my goodness, when you're rolled out in front of everybody in the daylight, that means you're totally exposed. You can't hide your sin. You can't hide meth. You can't hide alcohol. Can't hide prostitution. Can't hide. Amen? Came out there in the daylight, and there she is laid out before God. And then there was another man, his name Nicodemus, in John chapter 3. He came by himself. He came by himself. He waited till dark. The one that came to him by night. His sin's not as exposed. Sliding through. Matter of fact, when people think about him, they think about the man who talks about God all the time. How can we please God? Is the temple all right with God? Hey, guess what? So-and-so was latching his shoes on the Sabbath. Hey, did you know so-and-so's going through a divorce? What does God say about that? Amen. He sat on the highest council, like the Supreme Court of Judea. He sat on the Supreme Court. He was considered a holy man. When he didn't get drugged there, he walked there. He looks different. Come to the door. Could you imagine these two lives? Can you imagine these two lives? One of them just came from a prayer meeting. One of them just come from a Bible study. One of them just came from making an extra $20 from another dude. Oh, never mind. One of them's got a vocabulary like the other one doesn't. Holy things, scripture, basis. I mean, they know everything about the Bible. One knows things that shouldn't be known. That's a red light. What's the red light up for? Amen? How much does this cost? How much does that cost? Every hour on the hour, maybe 2 hours, knocking on the door. Some other man. Oh, goodness gracious. Some people's reality is different than your reality. Some people didn't get raised in church. We don't know how she was raised. But what if Nicodemus, well, he was took to church every day of his life. He was raised in a spiritual home. Man, this woman caught in a very act of adultery. Where was she raised? Who showed her what she's doing now? Was it her mom? Was it her dad? Was it a lack of mom? Was it a lack of dad? Amen? Man, what two different lives look like in a spiritual meeting? But both of them are coming to Jesus. Both of them. Both of them are coming. Two different lives. Two different ways. Man, one's really unrighteous. One of them's self-righteous. Both of them need Jesus. But we look at them when they're coming into the place like, man, she really needs Jesus. No, they both really need Jesus. They both need Him. We look at some people when they come to church, we think, man, all they've got to do is join. They've got it made, rubber stamped. Hey, they're going to be great. They could be on the council. They could teach Bible study. They could do a lot of things. They could work with the youth. Well, guess what? If they get saved, they can. Oh, never mind. I feel like I must be preaching to myself. And then while the prostitute gets drugged and rolled out before God, what is she going to be good for? Some people are going to come into our church and say, we're not going to let them around the money. Man, she's not teaching Sunday school class. She's not working with the youth. Amen. He's not working with the youth. His past, huh? his past is going to keep him away from a lot of stuff. Both of them unrighteous. Both of them don't know God. Amen? Man. But both of them are left alone with Jesus. I like the first one because it was funny when they rolled her out before Jesus. He dealt with their problem before he dealt with hers. Amen? Jesus started writing in the sand. I wonder if he wrote, "Where's the man?" I wonder if he wrote in Leviticus, he said, if she was caught in the very act of adultery, yes, she does have to be put to death, but the guy does too. And why were you over there on Thursday? And how long did you look through the window before you went in to get her? And all of them, I thought this was really neat, all of them left. Some people are going to leave the church. You thought they needed Jesus. You think they needed help. You thought that message was for so-and-so. And you're going to leave here with your sin, your unrighteousness, your problems, your issues. You're going to walk right back out of this door with your stuff. And guess what? That sinner person that you drug, they're going to get it. They're going to get saved. They're going to get it. And you're going to walk around and man, right? And they walked out of there mad and upset because Jesus took care of them before he took care of her. Sometimes God's got to run the people off that don't love him before he can heal the ones that's going to love him. Oh, never mind. You can't preach like that in the church. Talk about God will run some people off. God will run some people off. Amen? Oh, no, we got to keep them all. We'll try to keep them all. God ain't going to do that. Amen? So, hey, one point is, hey, are you going to follow me? You're going to take up your cross and follow me? Or are you going to follow me? Or are you going to be offended in me? And that day, many of his disciples left, John 6:66. Many of them said, we're out of here. Good. I got a lot of good work to do coming up. I need to get rid of you now. Amen? Sometimes people got to walk out of your life. Could you imagine that little old girl sitting down there? I mean, she's laying on the ground and expecting to be stoned to death. And all of a sudden she looks around and all the ones who brought her there are now gone. She's left with Jesus. So guess what Jesus did? Jesus dealt with her. You got to stop this. Amen? Go and sin no more. Dealt with her sin. You got to stop sinning. Nicodemus, he came at night. Man, he had been to every Bible study. He had been to, man, he had heard Jesus' name. He's seen him come in there and turn the tables over at the temple. Oh, never mind. God, man, that's what really made him mad. It wasn't the fact that Jesus was teaching and healing people. He came to the temple and he made some whipping cords. Oh, my gosh, Jesus did this. And walked in there and said, you have made the house of God a den of thieves. You're trying to profit off of salvation. And he flipped the tables over. Doves flying everywhere. Sheep running through the town. And he starts whipping these. Never mind. Y'all don't like that. It's in the Bible. Amen? And guess what? All the Sanhedrin, all of them said, who is this guy? Nicodemus said, I need to talk to him. He's not talking about religion. He's not talking about the temple. He's not talking about making himself somewhere to hide a seat. He's not looking for the big seat. He's not looking for the big auditor. He don't even really act. James, it almost like it seems like Jesus don't even care about the religious elite. Jesus does most of his work outside the church. Outside the temple, outside the synagogue, outside of it. Why does God do most of his work on the outside? Because we're supposed to do most of our work outside the church. Sometimes we think we've made God happy. Oh, we've made it to church. Praise God, what are we going to do? You are awesome, we made it to church. This is your fueling station. This is your place to come and worship God. To get fed by God, encouraged by God, encourage other believers, be an encouragement to other believers, and walk out these doors and take on the world. This church should be a factory of missionaries, preachers, teachers, evangelists. We should see people walking up. I can't help it. What? Help to do what God's called me to do. I don't care what people think. That's what you should be doing. That's what should be happening. A little factory. You're a preacher maker. No, I'm not. God is, though. You're making evangelists. No, we're not. God is, right? But I love this. God deals with them both the same way. Can I tell y'all a story? It's not my story. Go to John 3:16. It's not my story because I don't have a cool story like this one. But there was a man who was flying from China, but I have flown from China, to America. But he took his wife, and his wife was sick. I'm talking about sick, sick. You know what I mean? She had caught a virus. And they were getting on the plane, and the stewardess seen his wife, and she said, "Sir, what's wrong with your wife?" "Oh, it's no big deal. She just caught a virus." Terrorist and virus are the same to an airplane. They're on the same level. If you say you got a virus or you're a terrorist, apparently they don't want you flying. Amen? He said, "I tried to make it simple." He said, "Listen, we only going to need one barf bag and we'll be all right. Don't even worry about us." And the stewardess kind of cringed and went to the captain and came back and said, "I'm sorry, but you're going to have to disembark the aircraft. You can't fly." He said he leaned out and looked to the cabin to see the captain of the ship. The door was closed. Can't even see him. He won't even acknowledge it. Somehow he just wants to fly his little airplane back to the United States without me on it because I'm sick. My wife's sick. He's not even going to give me a time to tell my story. So I tell the stewardess, "Hey, can you let me talk to him? It's important." He don't want to talk to you. He's got more important things to do. He's going to try to fly a couple hundred people over the ocean for about 18 hours. He just told you to get off the plane. So he says he takes his wife and he wheels her out into the airport and puts her over right by the window where he can look in the cockpit of the airplane. I couldn't see him, and I know he probably wasn't even trying to see me. And I seen him taxi out onto the runway, and I seen him take off. And I said, "Man, that captain, what a mean guy. Just because I was sick." You know what? These two people, the woman caught in the very act of adultery and Nicodemus, were both sick. They were both sin sick. And Jesus was trying to save them both. They were both trying to get somewhere, but they were both sick. And Jesus done something. It's John 3:16. Let's read it. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What Jesus does is He comes back to your seat and says, "Stand up. We're going to go talk to the captain." And He walks you up to the captain's door, and they open it, and Jesus walks in with you and says, "They're okay to fly." And the captain says, "Why?" "Because I've healed them of their sickness. They can fly because everything they had, I took it. And I've done away with their sickness. They're able to fly." The woman caught in the very act of adultery, the worst sinner out of the bunch, can fly, can go to heaven. Because the captain of her soul realizes that Jesus Christ took her sin sickness and done away with all of her wickedness, that she can go to heaven. Nicodemus, the self-righteous, he died for his sin. He can also board and climb the friendly skies of salvation because of what Jesus has done. There was a pastor in the early 1800s. I don't know his name, but he penned a thing. He said, you know, some people seem to be in the pits of life when it comes to sin. Some people seem like they're way down in a mine, like a coal mine of sin, in a dark, dark place. And some people seem like they're on the Alps, right? Some people seem like they're on the peaks of life. But neither one of them can reach the stars. Amen? But neither one of them can reach the stars of salvation. Their arms are too short from both places. So you say, why are you preaching this morning? I want to tell you this. Because guess what? There are some people in here. You've done some things in your past. You've got some sin in your life. And you think, man, I'm the lowest of the low. Well, guess what? God died for your sins. He wants you in the family of God just as much as He wants anybody else in. All the songs that were sung this morning said the same exact thing. Amen? They said the same exact thing as this message is saying. He wants to remake you. See, when Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. He said, you must be remade. When the baby is made in the womb, it's made by God. Amen? He designed that. He made that. When it's birthed, nobody goes, man, look at the baby. Look what it did. They all go, man, look what mama did. And look what God did. Amen? Well, that same God that birthed you in the flesh has to rebirth you or remake you in the spirit. He's got to remake who you are. Amen? And that's what He does when you say, God, I'm a sinner. I might be somewhere between the worst sinner in the world and the most self-righteous person in the world, but I need the same salvation that everybody needs. God, will you simply forgive me of my sin? Will you simply be the Lord of my life? Will you let me enter into your kingdom, not because of what I've done, but because of what you've done? It's a simple, salvation's so simple. It's the simplest thing in the world. It's so simple a child can understand it. But it's so hard to take, and it's so hard to grab sometimes because of our pride. It says, pride cometh before a fall. If you're not careful, you'll let your pride cause you to take the greatest fall that's ever been taken. You will fall from God's grace and fall into eternity separated from God forever. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. There's going to be a lot of bad people. There's going to be, every one of them are going to be there because they didn't accept what Jesus did. There's going to be a lot of great people in heaven. And then there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that you're going to sit there and scratch your head and say, I can't believe they're here. Amen? No, I'm serious. There's going to be some murderers. There's going to be some people that you had wrote off. There's no chance for them. But maybe in their last breath, or maybe in their solitary cell, maybe when you weren't paying attention and weren't looking, when they rolled over against the wall, when they're about to take their last breath, maybe while somebody was putting an IV in their arm, maybe when they're about to flip the switch on the electrocuting chair, he said, God, forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. Just like the thief on the cross. And then there's going to be some people that aren't in heaven. There's going to be some preachers in heaven or in hell. There's going to be people who stood in pulpits and preached about Jesus and never believed it themselves. There's going to be Sunday school teachers in hell. There's going to be councilmen or what we call deacons in hell. There's going to be all kinds of churchgoers in hell because they've done everything right, but they did it without Jesus. I'd rather do it all wrong or all right as long as it's with all of Jesus. Amen? Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation.